I would like to present the idea that the Word of God is designed to be received in a certain way. In fact, we have example from the Thessalonians, and Paul praised them. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the Word of God. So, to me, that's amazing, because first of all, Paul thanked God, because this is the work of God in people's heart and how they receive the word. So I would like to deep dive more and more using these three items here, the below here. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. So that's Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 and 3. And then go to the Psalm 119, Psalm 1, basically the celebration expression of the psalmist, how they view the God's word. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the craving of the scripture, like a newborn, as in 1 Peter chapter 2. So this three is basically is something that is arise from inside. It's not something that is being forced from outside. It's not about personal discipline, but it's about the spiritual aspect of people's life. So, I'm not used to thinking what I have here and thinking with a slide. So, anyway, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 1 to 5. I would like to read this. Verse 1, start. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you know that the man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So let's stop right there. So first of all, it's mentioned here that God humbled the Israelites, take them to the wilderness when there is no food, no store, no rest stop. So that was the path that God put them on, wilderness. That's the way that God humbled them. But also, in doing that, they get hungry. And you know, when people are hungry, there are so many scenarios of reaction, especially if it prolonged hunger, right? So when people get hungry, there is something that God designed why he does it that way, right? So God designed that way so that they will rely on God to supply for the food, because God promised the bread. And some people call it the bread of heaven, because it comes from heaven directly. So now the idea is that when you hungry and then you are in desperation, but also God kind of take the opportunity that, well, because I'm going to see what is in your heart. Because what is in your heart, it will determine how do you going to react to this distress. And for instance, example, when we read back about, let's see, Peter denial, you know, when Peter denied Jesus three times, here, Peter basically said that, Lord, I will not deny you, even if everybody else deny you, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. So Peter probably sincerely say that, maybe even with a little bit pride then there, but he sincerely say that because I don't think he knows what is in his heart until it's tested, until it really, really happened. The same thing, God want the Israelites to be tested, what's in their heart, how are they going to react? Are they going to obey my command, keep it? Peter, the same way, after Peter denied Jesus three times, and then the rooster crow, what happened there? Peter remember right away that this is what Jesus told me. This is his own word. That I'm going to deny Jesus after the third cross. And at that time, he wept and cried. But if the heart of Peter is not being refilled by Jesus openly, Peter will never know about his heart, and he will never break down and cry before Jesus. And it's the word of Jesus that confront him to break down. I may share this maybe personally because it may bring it more home here. I'm not sure if Judy not mind about this. Over 6 months ago, me and Judy come home late, tired, you know, we travel, you know, Middleburg, you know, back and forth. And we have some disagreement between me and Judy. Maybe we are the only couple that have argument. So it's becoming intense. And I'm the leader of the family, and I should really be the one that steer or de-escalate. I think de-escalate is the word used in the policeman, right? De-escalate the situation. But I didn't. I was angry. I was escalating more and more on the tension. And a few seconds from there, while I'm escalating the tension, there is a strong force in my heart, like a rebuke, because the night before in my prayer to God, I get down on my knee and intensely praying to God about certain things in my heart. So through the word of God that I remember I pray for, not before, I'm being forced my inside, my heart, spiritually. And I broke down and cried in front of Judy. Broke down and cried because of that scripture that I remember, that I meditate the night before. And then I hugged Judy and I told her that I sinned against God in doing this, and how I react. So it's very important that to know that when God humbled Israelite, make them hungry, to know their heart, it's not because God is going to just expose your heart, but it's so that we can intersect with the word of God,
just like Peter, to brought down weapon cry and what's in our heart is far from the way God's holiness is. So this is just an example. The other thing about this is that the bread, you know, we can think about, wow, okay, this is good because it happened that God is using bread for this example. But in reality, if you look at Colossians 1, it says that God created everything before the world established. God created everything, and Jesus also is creating through Jesus and for Jesus. So perhaps we can start thinking that perhaps God created the real bread to illustrate the way that His people should depend on. So God designed everything. It's not because, oh, okay, let's just use bread. It's a good example. That's the way we do it. But in God, He may have created that in the very get-go, very beginning, to teach us by design. If you think about it like that way, it's very, very humbling, because look at the way we do here, right, with the bread. We can also see that in the gospel about in Matthew 6 about the Lord's Prayer, the daily bread. Give me the daily bread. That might be by design also. It's not coincident. So if you can think about it, the bread is very, very important in life for us to sustain our life here in this world. So if you can ask yourself, how do I feel if I'm without bread or without food intake for 7 days? How do I feel? And how do I feel if I feel nothing? So our 7 days without food, I just feel nothing. I don't even want to eat. Now, some people may have that in this world, but usually they are sick. They have some sickness. In fact, maybe extreme sickness. Maybe if some people they have anorexic, is that correct? Yeah. They may not want to eat, but no healthy people can go without food for 7 days without complaining, without disturbance. So now let's look at the Word of God here, because God gave us idea that the Word of God is kind of, it's like also our daily intake, that man should live by the every word that God that God says, basically, right? How do you feel if we don't go reading or meditating the Word of God beyond 3 or 7 days, or even more than that, 10 days? If you do not feel anything, perhaps you may ask yourself question, am I spiritually sick? Am I spiritually deprived? And this is where you can see in Ephesians 6 that Paul said about the armor of God, right? The struggle in this world is not about, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the authority, against the dark forces of the world. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the sword. I mean, the Word is the sword of the Holy Spirit. To fight spiritually, you need the Word of God. And that's why it is very important to ask yourself a question that the Word of God is something that you use if you live spiritually. If you don't, you're not going to sense the difference that you miss the Word of God because you live in the world full the worldly way. But if you live spiritually, that's something that we have to ask ourselves a question. Why do I not need the Sword of God? Maybe because I am not struggling spiritually. Even though I live in the flesh, you know, Galatians 5 said that, you know, the flesh and the spirit is always in conflict. So there's always fight because we live in the flesh. So I can illustrate one more thing here, right? So this is about dependency, that the Word of God is something that God wants them to depend on. I can illustrate this probably even more where, let's see, okay, about product, right? Honda. Honda make a lot of stuff, you know, car, lawnmower, this generator kind of stuff. So I happened to have Honda before. I also, you know, Honda Civic, and then I also bought a Honda lawnmower. So after time, I kind of have a brand loyalty toward Honda. So anything that Honda makes, I buy because I trust they always have a good quality. So I buy that, right? And so I have a loyalty to Honda. That's what God wants us to treat Him and treat His Word. Full loyalty to the Word and His God and His Word. No matter what it is, no matter what it says. Just like I'm full loyalty to Honda, no matter what they make, whether they make lawnmower, cars, or pickup truck, I buy them because I trust them. But as I learned becoming more and more educated consumer, smarter consumer, and independent consumer, I start thinking, you know, my Honda Civic Hybrid, if I compare it to the Toyota Prius, Prius is better. Mileage-wise, price a little bit cheaper. So I start drifting, okay, I'm going to break this brand loyalty because now I know better. So I switch to Toyota Prius. This is real. Now I have a 2 Toyota Prius. This is the reverse of the spiritual world. And in this world, when you get smarter, you're going to get more independent. And you think you can control of everything. But in the spiritual world, it's upside down. God wants you to be a loyal customer that has brand loyalty toward God. And this is something, again, that you have to ask your question to yourself, right? How do I approach this in this world? Time? Okay. So, oops. Bring it forward about this Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, as most of you already know this, Jesus, he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, verse 4. Also, you notice, Matthew 4, to help you remember here, right? Matthew 4, verse 4, and Luke 4, verse 4. This is good for memory about temptation. So, good memory there. So the similarity is that between Deuteronomy 8:2 and Jesus, right? They hunger in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus hunger and fasting evangelists for 40 days. And then the mission is to go to promised land, and Jesus' mission is to provide salvation to all men. And Israelite, even though it was led by Moses at the beginning, but Moses was being replaced by Joshua, and Joshua's name is basically translated as a Jesus in the Hebrew Aramaic. So there's so much similarity that God designed this before the beginning of time. And we learn, you know, it's just amazing about how the scripture presents this. Now, the devil knows in Deuteronomy 8 that God created manna, bread from heaven, out of nothing. So that's why the devil said, Jesus, you can make this rock, stone, to bread. But Jesus said no. And Jesus quoted the same scripture that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the issue here is not hunger. The issue is not bread. But the devil is always want us to think the issue is bread or hunger. And the devil knows deep down that they want Jesus to be independent of God. Just like us, we want to be independent customer, right? Jesus being lured toward being independent. And this is contrary to there's about 6 scriptures in the book of John that Jesus basically, you know, relying on God fully. Just example, okay? John 5:30. Let's go to John 5:30 here. John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own. Short. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So this is, if you read the rest of scripture like that, it's the same flavor that Jesus really, really depending on God fully. And that's basically the idea of this Deuteronomy 8. God wants his people to be dependent on him fully through his word. The next, I will move to Psalm. Basically, Psalm is Psalm 1 and Psalm 119. It's a set of scripture to celebrate and express. The psalmist express how they feel about the word of God. And I really love Psalm. I mean, I really learn a lot. I pray through the book of Psalm. And, just several things in the Psalm 119 that they use about 7 different terms describing the word of God. And you can see that, you know, there are so many items here, so many different ways to look at it. They are intermingling, not totally separate, like between law and testimony. It's not totally different, but they are overlapping here and there. But it just shows you how the wisdom of God. God is not a lawyer that just create a law, but he create the dynamic of his word to cover all the 7 areas that is dynamic and rich, so that you just do not follow God through restricted to law, but there's an in depth of love and everything else in there, right? So the psalmist expresses his longing, delight, trust, and dependency of God's word. And I learned a lot from it. But here, the example here, I'm going to pick and choose. You know, like, I like this one. This is Psalm 1. But his delight, this is describing describing a person that who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. Your testimony are my delight, they are my counselor. So again, it's a delighting things that the word of God, so I delight them all so much that it's my counselor. Journey. This is another thing that I like. The journey. We all sojourn here, right? We all sojourn. But here, describing that, it seems that his commandment is a sojourner. His commandment is my lifeline. Because when you are in journey, right, you have your place where you belong to and you're away. And you want to keep in touch for direction, for purpose, for goal to reach your journey. And the word of God is the commandment of God is how you direct your ways and your journey. And the psalmist say, do not hide your commandment, because if I do not hide commandment, I will get lost. That's how you feel. The second one here is that your word is lamp to my feet. Lamp is very, very important if you live in the darkness, if you, especially in the path of darkness, if you are there. Because so the lamp is served for two functions here. The lamp that is help me to see my feet, see my surrounding, where to step, where am I. And then the second one is a light that is lighting my path, so I can see further away the direction that I need to take. So it's very important to know this, where you are, but also where you go. And the psalmist expressed that I need your word as my lamp. Otherwise, you're not going to go anywhere. So this is how critical is the word of God is. I'll just skip this for sake of time. Trials. See, in the if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And then here, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statute. So the psalmist says that the delight is the one that helped him to go through the affliction and stick to God. It's almost like the way some of the people describe about that they can meditate in the middle of chaos because they have peace from it. The delightfulness, it gives you peace because you delight in the word of God so much that it is something that you fully rely on. Though the court of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget the law. So even though you are ensnared, you still delight. You still do not forget your God's law. So it's very, very important to understand that. Wisdom. Okay, this is good one here. I will run in the way of commandment. When you enlarge my heart, the word enlarge my heart is the same translation that is being used in First King about Solomon. Wisdom described is the breath of mind. It's the same translation, the same word, breath of mind. Breath, B-R-E-T-D-H, something. Breath of mind. So that's basically, it's you have more capacity to understand God's word. The more you read the word of God, you have more capacity to learn the wisdom of God. I'm sorry. So the next one, the last one, basically, is about craving. This is a different angle about the word of God, about craving. So it's basically, let's go there. Let's make it a little bit quick. First Peter.
First Peter 2, verse 1 to 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. It's the word so here. It's because the passage before it is talking about scripture, about how the scripture works. So because of the word of God was preached to you, so put away all the malice. And then verse 2, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So me and Judy, we had a chance to see our baby granddaughter for the first time a month ago. So it reminded me how baby is. He keeps screaming every few hours for milk. Not only that, they cannot see well. I mean, they cannot see well. And they also it's not fully aware about the environment. And I see that, I'm sure the mother kind of agree with this. But when they hungry, all power and strength goes out to scream. And nothing can calm her down unless she gets the milk. So this is the way Peter described what we should view the scripture. One thing that I need to explain here, long, the word long for long for milk. It's used with translation of intensely crave, very very intense. And I'm gonna go more about the use of it. To use the same word, it's being used in James 4, which is really more revealing. But also, the word pure spiritual milk. The spiritual here is different word than other spiritual word. It's translated as reasonable of the word. So it's got the word relationship on the translation. So the craving, longing for pure spiritual milk is very, very specific target of understanding that Peter used in the scripture. So again, this is basically baby. Baby always cry and focus and nothing else than milk. And the craving arises naturally from inside, not outside. And I mentioned this earlier. But back to the scripture here, does Apostle Paul use this milk analogy? Is it just for young Christian or for all Christian? Because I know some people make that confused about 1 Corinthians 3:2 and Hebrews 5, basically explaining about that Christian that is not mature or baby, they should drink milk first. This is very, very different context. The milk here is describing how we should treat the word of God, everybody. Not every Christian, not just the baby, every Christian. So to give example here, right? The word long here, if you go to James 4
verse 5, basically, it's translated jealousy, desire. And
I'm not going to go there because to save time.
Basically, jealously desire use of that word in that scripture in James 4 is like the strong, very, very extreme desire that everything else around it just fade out. Just like baby. Baby do not care about anything else when they want milk. The same thing here, the translation of jealousy desire is everything else is fading out. And you can see here example that I really appreciate and thankful about scripture in the Philippians 3. Let's go to Philippians 3 here, right? This is famous scripture of Paul. Philippians 3 verse 4. Actually, let me see. Let me skip it down. But whatever, verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus of my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that it comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So you can see here that there's a trade-off here. If you look at carefully, that in order for Christ to long for Jesus, to know more about Jesus, he gave up stuff, other stuff that he had. In fact, he said, the stuff that I had, it's garbage. You know, when we put trust in garbage, it's not for there to keep on your garage. When you put trust in the garbage, it's being, because you want to be removed from your life and being dumped to the landfill that you do not want to never see again, that you put in the garbage. And that's how Paul treat the delight. I want to know more about Jesus. So he gave up the rest. He and I think I forgot Colossians, I think. First Corinthians 2, it says that I decide to know Christ among you, not anything else but Christ crucified. So as you can see here, the scripture, the word of God, is almost like a foundation. Just like a baby, milk is their foundation to maturation, to be mature. Make that baby drink. What I presented here is a foundation how you should view the word of God as prescribed by God. It is something that I cannot force anybody here. If I cannot, I cannot really train anybody. I think I have it here in the slide here. It's a question that you need to ask yourself. Do you live and depend on the word of God just like depend on the daily bread? Do you delight, love, and depend on this word from Psalm? On Saint Peter, from First Peter here, do you long for the word just like the newborn baby long for milk? So this is something, a personal question to yourself. And
One of the reasons that I'm sharing this is because about over 4 years ago, I struggled. I study here and there to live a life as a Christian. Study because I like to be ready to, but in Bible class, there was one question. And then I study more here and there. But my studying, while it was good, I felt that something is missing. I keep reading the gospel and praying to God, something is missing. So every night at that time, I pray to God about Psalm 37:4. Delight. God, I want, please help me to delight myself in you so that you can give me desire of my heart every night. As I mentioned here, this is something that your view that arises from the inside, not from influence from the outside, because it's your own conviction and heart. And you know, the only people that can help it there is God. It's God. Everybody in the scripture is all directed by God through heart, because God is the one that can change our heart. So at the end, this is my suggestion here. Earnestly study, meditate, and pray, and ask God to all the scripture here, delight yourself in the Lord. This is what I pray to God. Open my eyes that I may hold wondrous things of your law. If you do not read the word of God, you will never even know the wondrous thing in the word of God. So much wonders there. And then the same thing here, give me understanding. Pray to God that God will give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. In fact, in Psalm 86, it says that, God, unite my heart so I can fear your name. The idea is that one wants to unite their heart is because a lot of time, people's heart is everywhere. I want to be good here. I want to be good there. I want to be, you know, be here, be there, be involved. But when talking about fearing the name of God, the name of Christ, you have to unite the whole heart, and only God that can help that, because we are bound to spread out. Jeremiah 17, it says that heart is deceitful, and it's very, very hard to know our heart, because that's why in Deuteronomy 8 says that God said that so that I test you so that you know what's in my heart. But it's very hard to know in our heart, our own heart, because our heart is deceitful. Even if we are Christian, if we do not cling to God in the Word, through the Word, then the world is going to entice you to be deceitful, as opposed to Scripture will sanctify you and help you to be godly, to be dependent on God. So I pray that what I presented here is useful for everybody, and I pray also that as we read this and we learn this, that we will see more and more of God's glory, and we will give glory to God because of His word is so magnificent. So if anybody here, after hearing the scripture, think about more and more about this and would like to journey more to know God and ask
to be drawn near to God through His Word. Because like I said, this is not just fixing external thing, but this is the inside. And if you are not Christian, if you also being presented here where you would like to repent and be baptized, because the Word of God is so convicted in your heart, you may come forward and express that. And again, if you're Christian and you want to have God to have this in your prayer and also to be for the congregation to pray for you, please come forward at this time. Thank you for your attention.